Thank you, Lois, for reading the Bible for us. And good evening, everyone. Yes, good to see you. Yeah. And thanks for having me. And now, as it's time to study the Bible, let's come to our Lord in prayer for His help to understand it and also put it into practice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your words, which perfectly reveal your Son, Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for your Spirit, who help us to understand your words. So, Father, as we study your words, open our hearts and minds through your Spirit, so that we will understand that we are called not to be divided, but to be united in loving and worshiping you alone. As I'm teaching your words, Lord, please be with me and help me to be bold and clear and teach only what your scripture says. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes. On Friday afternoon, we run in our church, Mosman, we run a children's program called JUMP. We stand for Jesus, Us, Mosman, and Presbyterian. Yes. I hope you like it. And this is for primary school age kids. And if the kids attend Mosman Primary School, we pick them up from the school and walk with them to our church. And when we pick them up, we always wear a floral safety vest, which is very easily recognizable, so that everyone can see that we are JUMP leaders. However, we soon discovered that it's not only us who are wearing that floral safety vest, but also other leaders from different childcare centers in Mosman. They are doing exactly the same thing like us, picking up their kids from the school and walking with them to their center. So we told our kids that they have to make sure that they stay together as one united group and follow only our leaders so that they can safely arrive at our church. Likewise, in today's passage, Paul is actually saying to the Corinthians that they should stay together as one united church and follow their one true leader, which is God. As it says in verses 4 to 5, saying, "For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task." Here in verses 1 to 5, Paul expresses his disappointment to the Corinthians because they were not united in praising and following God alone, but they were divided by following their favorite leader, such as Paul and Apollos. And we can see the visible result of their division in verse 3, as it says, there was jealousy and quarreling among them. This means they are not just following their favorite leader, but they are also fighting and arguing with each other that their leader is superior to others. So when some of them say, "I follow Paul," it means they are saying, "I'm absolutely convinced that Paul is superior to other leaders in the church. I'm glad that I was baptized by him so that I can get better spiritual blessings. Sorry if you're baptized by someone else." And when others say, "I follow Apollos," it means they are saying, "Have you heard a guy in the town? His name is Apollos. And he's better than anyone else in the church because he is so smart. His teaching is fantastic and he never preaches a boring sermon like other leaders," which is very mean. And Paul was not happy with this division, the factions, the jealousy, and the quarreling within the church at all. So in verses 6 to 7, Paul explains to the Corinthians why they should stop comparing the leaders, and why they should stop quarreling among themselves, and why they should not be divided in the church, but should be united together in following God. This is because their leaders are nothing without God. As Paul says in verses 6 to 7, saying, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Please notice that Paul planted the seed and Apollos watered it, which means Paul preached the gospel to the Corinthians so that they became a Christian, and Apollos guided them to be more like Jesus. However, although it was Paul and Apollos who preached and guided the Corinthians, it was ultimately God who helped the Corinthians to believe the message and to grow in Christ. So here Paul is saying to the Corinthians that he and Apollos are nothing on their own, because only God can make things grow so that they should not be divided in following either Paul or Apollos, but be united in following God. Yet, please be aware that here Paul is not saying to the Corinthians that they should not listen to their leaders or should not appreciate their leaders' hard work, effort, and endeavors for what they have done for them for the sake of the gospel. Instead, he's saying to the Corinthians that they should be united in giving all the credit and praise to God for the growth of the church and for the success of their ministry, in knowing that it is not their leaders, but it is God alone who brings success, bears fruit, and makes things grow. So in this regard, Paul says to the Corinthians that he and Apollos are just mere servants of God in verse 5. And like every Christian, they build God's church on the same foundation, which is Jesus Christ in verse 11. And when Christ returns in verses 12 to 15, the quality of their works are going to be tested and God will reward it accordingly. So Paul is saying, God is the ultimate force behind the scene who did not only call Paul and Apollos to serve his people by planting the seed and giving them water, but also used them to make things grow, bear fruit, and build his church on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul is not only compelling the Corinthians, but also us, not to be divided, but to be united in loving and worshiping our God with one heart and one spirit, in knowing that our loyalty, praise, credit, hope only belongs to one true leader, which is our God. Once I was asked to join a choir, and the conductor told me in his choir there is four different parts, such as soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And he said, as a male, I can be either tenor or bass. And my reply was to be a tenor. However, with my first practice, I was not singing a tenor part at all. I was definitely out of tune and causing some unpleasant sounds. But as time went by, I improved, thankfully, and I could sing my tenor part. And that was the first time that I was feeling in harmony with everyone. I felt that although we were singing different parts, we were one heart and one mind, and we were making one of the beautiful sounds together. In the same way, in our church, we are called to serve each other in different ways, like there are sopranos, altos, tenors, and bass in the choir. We all have different gifts and calling, but as we create harmony with one another, by being united in loving and worshiping God with one heart and one spirit, it will. definitely create beautiful sounds, marvelous sounds, which are absolutely pleasing to God. And this is what Paul wants the Corinthians to do. Yet, please be aware that it was not easy for the Corinthians to be united together in loving and worshiping God because of their culture. For example, it was part of their culture to listen to some professional singers, or not singers, sorry, professional speakers, yes, on the streets of Corinth. It was one speaker after another rising up, competing with each other to see who sounds most impressive. And the people quite enjoyed watching that rivalry between the speakers and even ended up being committed to them as their followers, and championing them by donating money and voting them for some local elections. And this kind of culture naturally crept in and invaded the church because it was the way of their life that they lived and breathed. This means the Corinthians were encouraged by their culture to line up behind one leader in the church and show loyalty by arguing and fighting with each other that their leader is superior to others. So in order to stop this practice within the church, which was causing huge division, Paul reminds the Corinthians in verses 16 to 17, they are different to this world because they are God's sacred temple, where the Spirit lives. As Paul says in verses 16 to 17, saying, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." Here Paul is saying to the Corinthians, in the church, there is no place for worldly culture. There is no place for comparing the leaders. And there is no place for causing division by championing their favorite leader as the world does. This is because they no longer belong to this world, but they belong to God. They are God's sacred temple, where the Holy Spirit lives, which means now they have a responsibility to be united in God, to give Him all the honor and glory. So Paul continues to compel the Corinthians in verses 18 to 19, saying, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." Notice that Paul says, "Do not deceive yourselves." This is because some of the Corinthians saw themselves as wise in attaching themselves to a particular leader. So Paul urges the Corinthians to be foolish according to the standards of this world, which means stop following a particular leader in the church to be wise, but be wise in God, which means be united in believing the true wisdom of God, which is the gospel. Yet, we have to be aware and we have to admit that for some people, the gospel does sound foolish. It does not make sense for them and it does not sound wise at all. Because it says, the Son of God, who has all authority and power in creation, humbled himself to live on earth, and even offered himself as the Lamb of God, not for those who deserve it, but for those who don't deserve it. However, though this message may sound foolish to this world, this is the message that shows God's amazing grace. This is the message that gives us eternal life. And this is the message on which every church is founded. And every Christian is united in giving all the glory, credit, honor, and praise to God alone for what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Then how about you? What is your response to this message? Does the gospel sound foolish? Or does it sound like the true wisdom of God? If the gospel sounds foolish, unreasonable, or even offensive for you, then we pray that one day you'll be able to see God's amazing love in it, the most wonderful love ever that is perfectly expressed in His Son, Jesus Christ. But if the gospel is the true wisdom of God for you, the most beautiful and joyful message ever, that in Christ you don't lack anything, but you have everything for both your life and salvation, then praise God and follow the instruction of Paul in verses 21 to 23. As it says, so then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. My little one Grace is now 10 months because I have one daughter, and she now knows how to crawl forward. And then she's very fast. Since then, my life has never been the same again because I have to follow all the time. So now because she is so mobile, I have to remind her that each place in my house has a different purpose. Saying to her, there is a place to eat, and there is a place for her to sleep, and there is a place for her to play. And whenever she tries to crawl to the top of the stairs, I quickly grab her and remind her again that the stairs are not a place for her to play with her toys. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. In the same way, Paul is reminding the Corinthians and us, including me, that the church is not a place for division, competition, and rivalry, but it is the place to be united in the gospel, to give all the glory, credit, honor, and praise to Him alone for what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And before I finish my sermon, I would like to say that here in Mac Chapel, as far as I can see, there are no signs of disunity which occurred in the Corinthian church. I really wanted to say that before I finish. So please be happy. We all love to come to this lovely church to worship our living God together. But because we are living in a world which encouraged competition and rivalry, it is good to be reminded by Paul today that the church is the place to be united together in loving and worshiping our God alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word, which reminded us that the church is the place to be united together in worshiping you alone. We give you thanks for the true wisdom, the gospel in which every church is founded and every Christian is united. And we give you thanks that you have called us to use our different gifts to create harmony with one another, to bring praises to your name. So, Father, help us to continually be united in giving all the glory, credit, honor, and praise to you alone. And also help us to be united in loving, serving, and caring for each other with the gifts that we receive from you, so that we can create beautiful harmony in our church, which is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.